Emily Yoshida from AVClub.com. Welcome to this, I guess, pilot episode of the Mad Men podcast that we're recording. How are you doing?
Experiment.
How are you doing this evening?
I am doing great. It's a lovely day here in Los Angeles, California, or evening now.
I am in Boston right now, and two nights ago it was 65 degrees, and this morning it was snowing. So,
wow.
Yeah.
Mixing it up in B-Town.
Yeah. No one calls it that.
I'm sorry. I said B-Town, not Bean Town.
I
not
mean,
with an N.
Both of those are pretty bad, is what I'm saying.
Well, I think that B-Town is funnier. So.
All right. Anyway, okay, Emily. So let's talk about the season 4 finale of Mad Men. Mad Men season 5 returns on March 25th. And are you looking forward to it?
You know, I am. I'm looking forward to a show being back on that pretty much everybody that I know watches. You know, even with like Breaking Bad, which is my personal favorite show that's still running right now. Not all of my friends watch it, and they all have these sort of different excuses, like, you know, oh, I don't want to get into it in the middle and something. But pretty much everybody I know watches Mad Men. I feel like it's not as much of a high pressure show to like watch every second obsessively. So maybe that makes more people into it. So
the only reason, basically the only reason you're into it is because of peer pressure, is what you're saying.
Well, I mean, I like the show a lot, and actually just rewatching the finale right now, you know, there's definitely, I mean, it's undeniably a good TV show. I don't, you know, I have written blog posts about how I do not love it, and I definitely find it lacking in some areas where other shows get me a lot more excited.
Yeah.
But
I really enjoyed that blog post. But okay, let's talk about the season 4 finale.
Yes.
I mean, it's been, what, 17 months since Mad Men has been
on
the air?
Yeah.
And there's been almost total radio silence from Matt Weiner about what is going to happen this season. Like, no one knows what time period it takes place in. No one knows. Yeah. And we should say we're going to spoil everything through the end of season 4 of Mad Men right now. So
yes,
if you,
thoroughly.
Yes.
So,
Go ahead. Yeah, no, I'm not doing anything.
Well, I mean, they just released the photos, the promo photos for season 5.
Right. Yeah.
And it, you know, I was looking for signs of some, you know, big time change.
Yeah,
or,
there's,
you know,
no hints.
In the 70s now. But
those could have come,
I mean,
from,
it looks the same. I mean, and even watching the finale now, the chair that Sterling's sitting in, is the same that he has in this officer. So I'm guessing that, you know, we're not going to have any huge surprises in that regard.
Yeah, and I don't remember. I think it was this New York Times piece that I thought was pretty great, entitled "The Top Men." The top man at Mad Men isn't mad anymore, by Dave Itzkoff, and it's a pretty awesome profile of Matt Weiner.
Yeah,
and it was talking about how, yeah, like all the promo materials for this season of Mad Men could have come from any season of Mad Men. So it's pretty interesting. Like, but no one, all the commercials, they're all using footage from older seasons.
Yeah.
So no one knows anything really about what's going to happen.
It's such a weird thing because, you know, other shows that have a lot more, I think, plot specific kind of spoilers. I mean, what's a spoiler for Mad Men, really? I mean, how often does something happen on that show where?
Well, it turns out something pretty major did happen.
Well, in the finale, yeah.
Okay, hold on. Let me tell you an interesting story about this, okay? So I listened to a podcast called The Extra Hot Great Podcast, which is, in my opinion, one of the better podcasts in existence today. And years ago, this was like October of 2010, I think, so over a year and a half ago, right around the season finale of Mad Men. So I was listening to this podcast, and they spoiled the last episode of season 4 of Mad Men, which I'm about to do right now. And it was pretty distressing because by the time that they said it, like, it was too late for me to reach for the dial. Do you know what I'm saying? Like, the words were already out of the mouth before I could, like, turn off the podcast.
So this was before you watched the finale.
Okay. Check this out, okay? So I was listening, and one of the hosts of that show, Tara, said, what was up with Dawn proposing to blah, blah, blah out of nowhere? Right. And then I heard that phrase and I couldn't unhear it. Right.
Oh, of course not.
That being said, Emily, I didn't remember who the woman was that he proposed to.
Oh, well, so that's good.
So I'm watching the entire season four of Mad Men, and I'm like, wow, he's going to propose to, what was it,
Dr. Faye.
Dr. Faye. He's going to propose to Dr. Faye. Like, the whole time I was like, oh, okay, this is going to be awesome. It's going to be so awesome how he proposes to Dr. Faye at the end. Like, it's going to be them finally kind of, Dawn overcoming his demons and proposing to a woman that's actually going to be good for him.
Yes.
And everyone's going to live happily ever after. And I was like, totally like looking forward to this. Like, on the one hand, I was bummed out that it had gotten spoiled for me. But on the other hand, I was really looking forward to maybe this show having some kind of happy resolution.
Yeah. And we still got another two seasons. So.
And then, of course, out of freaking nowhere, Emily.
Yeah.
Out of nowhere. He proposes to Megan.
Yeah.
And this distressed me greatly. Okay, go ahead, react.
Well, it was completely, I was not spoiled by it at all. I didn't know he was going to propose to anybody, let alone Megan, when I watched it. And
It was almost an anti-spoiler for me, because I thought it was going to be Dr. Faye. And then Megan was like, made it doubly more shocking than if I had not known about it at all. Do you know what I'm saying?
No, totally. Yeah. Everything just because I didn't rewatch it in the episodes I've been rewatching this today. I didn't watch the one where he originally sleeps with her, like on his couch in his office, like all sleazy. Like, I remember that episode though, like just being so that was kind of a new low, I thought, for Dawn. So
why was that a new low for him?
I'm forgetting the progression of events, but that was just. In the seasons up till then, like he has his affairs with these other women, but they're always totally separate from work. And there was it always seemed like there was some sort of dignity.
Well, I think you're kind of blending in the two secretaries together, because there's that one secretary he sleeps with at the beginning. Is it Emily? I thought it was like Allison or something.
Oh yeah, that's right. There was something then. That's right.
That was the one that was horrible.
That was the horrible one. Yeah. There was something that had happened. Megan first came in.
I mean, well, it was that what happened with Megan was that, like, his company was falling apart.
Yeah.
And then Megan, like, propositions him, and he's like, look, I can't afford to make any mistakes right now. And then, so he has sex with Megan, and then later that night, Dr. Faye is like, hey, actually, I am going to sacrifice my professional livelihood for you. And that was a pretty crappy thing for him, because at that point he thought like things with Dr. Faye might not be going that well.
Yeah.
And then of course not only are they not going well, they're going great, because she's like willing to sacrifice everything for him.
Yeah. And I mean he opens up to her like he has for nobody else in the entire series so far, so everything looks great. But she had to go take that business trip. Let that be a lesson to all ladies. Never
take
travel for business, or your man will leave you.
I agree.
For a younger, prettier model.
I agree. This is a very good piece of advice. I wish my ex-girlfriend had listened to that. No, I'm just joking. She was kind of, Megan had offered him no strings attached sex in his office.
Right.
Which I thought, that's difficult to turn down.
This is the thing.
For anyone, let alone Don Draper.
Yeah. I mean, is that when I remember seeing the finale for the first time and thinking, oh, wow, that was totally out of the blue. Mm-hmm. But then watching it this time around thinking, oh, she totally set that up. Like, she's obviously smarter than, I think that we're initially led to give her credit for. Just because, there are so many secretaries in the world of Mad Men, and, she's, pretty and thin and everything. So we think, she propositions him. So it just seems like she's one of those girls. But, there's obviously more to her character than that. And we kind of come to realize that in the finale. But I think that she's probably secretly a genius. And now I'm starting to wonder if she, it's hinted that she has some kind of designs to move up career wise. But, you know, I'm interested to see, especially how that affects like Peggy and Joan. Cause I love watching it again, the scene between them after they announced.
Yeah. I watched that again too. And that is so awesome.
It's such a great such scene. A good scene. I mean, and I want more of that. Like, God damn it. Like that, it felt like such a good decompression. Because this is one of my things with Mad Men. I feel like it does the winding up thing very well, but there's not enough
payoff.
It doesn't let off its steam enough. Yeah. And that scene, I mean, even though it was just, you know, a little conversation between two characters, like, but letting them just have out their feelings like that, especially two characters that kind of have had their friction in the past, right. I thought it was great. And I really want to see them having more interaction, positive interaction in the fifth season.
Mad Men is a lot of foreplay, a lot of build up, not much climax, I think is.
Oh, in all of the show?
Yeah, just in general.
Yeah. Oh, definitely. Yeah. It's a tease.
Which is interesting. Like I record a podcast about Justified called The Justified Cast, and that is almost the complete opposite, where there is almost no build up and there's confrontations happening every single week. Like just huge, big Shakespearean word battles happening between these big characters. And so it's interesting to see the contrast where like here you have like tons of build up and then every now and then a peek at what is possible to explode between these characters. And and I use that imagery purposefully here. So I don't know if I agree with you that she's some kind of cunning, diabolical femme fatale character where she like planned this five moves ahead. I think she just could have easily been interested and sexually adventurous, and then this whole proposal and the moving up in the world that's going to happen to her presumably is just like caught her completely by surprise. But it's also entirely possible that what you're saying is true as well. So,
I mean, I'm just trying to think from the perspective of a writer for the show. Like, why would you just throw that in for yucks? Or like, I mean, I don't feel like they do that on that show. I mean, I feel like they lay their groundwork for, you know, how, you know, some event will affect all the characters, you know.
I think, in my opinion, and I know a lot of people will disagree with this statement, in my opinion, you're giving the show too much credit. I think there's tons of stuff that comes straight out of nowhere, and that's not necessarily a bad thing. But it's just to say the show is sometimes a work of brilliance and unspeakable genius, and sometimes it seems like it's making it up as it goes along.
Yeah,
and that's what it seems.
I think that's what a lot of season four felt like.
Really, I thought season four was my favorite season because I felt like you're seeing in the first couple seasons you're seeing like the rise of Don Draper, and in season four you're seeing the fall of Don Draper.
Yeah,
I like that there are consequences for his actions. You know?
Yeah. Just I kind of missed, you know, the even though it was miserable for everybody involved, I missed kind of the structure, order to him, you know, and his family life with Betty and the kids. Like, I thought that was, I don't know, that was something that, like, yanking that away. While I like that the show was not afraid to kind of take away like a major part of its structure. I don't know. It felt a little bit like we were floating around kind of, I mean, I guess that's intentional because that's the way that Don was feeling. But I remember about halfway through, I think the Summer Man, that episode, the one where he's swimming all the time. I don't know. That one felt kind of unmoored to me. I was like, wait,
Before there was a very clear connection between Betty and the rest of the characters. And now there's no.
Yeah, it's like, why are we still paying attention?
Right, why are we still paying attention to her?
I mean, but granted, by paying attention to Betty, we get to pay attention to Sally, who is one of the best characters on the show. So,
I mean, it's such a tragic character. I don't, you know what I mean? Like, I feel my heart goes out to her. She's like the Butters of Mad Men in the sense that, like, she's like this sweet, innocent character that the show creators seem to love torturing. you know?
Yeah. And who occasionally lashes out and beats up other.
Yeah. And it's just, it's so,
children.
It's so painful to see. And she's a great actress too, you know?
Yeah.
She, it's, my heart goes out to that character, yeah. even though she doesn't exist. But, okay. Yeah. So the thing, the season four finale disturbed me greatly, Emily, yes. because.
I'm sorry. What? That you were so disturbed. I mean, that must have been hard.
You should be sorry. It disturbed me greatly because what happened? He proposes to this girl out of nowhere, and then Dr. Faye, I cannot imagine that she saw this coming. I mean, it seemed even literally at the beginning of the episode, things were going really well between the two of them.
Yeah, she was just taking off at the beginning of the episode. They had just had it.
And it's like, hey, not only are we breaking up, I'm getting married to someone else. That's just, I can't, that's a lot of news to take for one phone call.
Yeah.
You know? But the real issue for me is that aside from kind of, like, this is one of the few times, in my opinion, where Dawn did something that was totally unforgivable, and like just so he had an affair with all these women, he had sex with all these other women, he cheated on his wife a bunch of times. But to me, I mean, that's just, that stuff happens. Do you know what I mean? like people,
boys will be boys.
okay. To be fair though, Emily, Betty did end up becoming a monster. Like she ends up becoming a horrible character. So it's like she ends up becoming a horrible person. So the fact that Dawn inflicted all these wrongs on her didn't strike me as that, because she's like, she's already such a horrible person. It's like, oh, the fact that Dawn kind of screwed her over, I don't feel that bad for her. Do you know what I'm saying?
Well, I wouldn't feel bad for her, but it's not even that he's right in doing it, but for somehow it doesn't seem as. It doesn't just get you on the gut level of like, oh, somebody's getting hurt. Like, everybody's horrible in that situation.
Exactly. And then, you know, in terms of raising Sally poorly, I mean, dude, there's a lot of fathers that are just poor fathers in the world.
Yeah.
So,
that happens.
Those are... okay. You mock me. But
zero pity.
What I'm saying is... But what I'm saying is that... This is a time where he like inflicted this profound pain on someone who basically did nothing wrong, right? Like we don't know of anything this person did wrong, and has done everything she can to try and be a good person to Dawn.
Yeah.
And so that's why it bothered me so much. Not only that, and it came out of nowhere too. That being said, you could make the argument that like she's much better off now because. Had she gotten married to Dawn, something horrible would have happened down the line.
Well, I don't know. Like I felt very, very awful for her in that scene. Yeah. Like when she's on the phone, just because I don't know. There's something about her reactions. It's a very short scene. I mean, like a lot of these sort of big revelatory scenes are in Mad Men. I mean, they're really not that long. Somebody says something and then somebody reacts and they don't talk about it because nobody really talks about much on Mad Men. But I just, you know, there was just like this huge sadness of like that she had been struggling to keep her dignity in this interaction with him and like really level with him as an equal through all of this, and like none of it paid off. Like she may as well have just thrown herself at him like any other secretary, and it didn't matter. And as a lady, that struck a chord with me. I did get a little bit. I didn't shed a tear, but I got a little bit choked.
I mean, as a man, that struck a chord with me. You know, like it's so heartbreaking because I'm sure we all know what it's like to pour your heart and soul into a relationship.
Yeah, and she's obviously as guarded, you know.
Yeah,
if not possibly even more guarded than he was, and so you know, that's a huge struggle to get two people who are as like wound up in career and as you know. Have as many issues as both of them do to like sit down and level with each other. I mean, that's a lot of work.
Yeah.
And
well, it's just like, can you imagine like pouring your heart into a relationship and then the relationship ends and you're heartbroken? Like that's already horrible. You know, the fact that she had to endure, oh, not only is it ending, but I'm getting engaged to someone else and it happened over like the course of 3 days.
Yeah.
And so she's probably like, the relationship is ending, but B, wow, I didn't know you at all, and how can I ever trust myself in the future?
Yeah,
you know what I mean.
Yeah,
yeah. So,
and it's so weird because after the proposal, like, you know, you have Dom with this huge, he's just got this huge grin on his face, and he's like so pleased with himself about everything, and then, you know, when he asks to talk to her on the phone, it's like, wait a second, dude, like, you obviously, like, hate this right now. Like, this is making you feel horrible to say this. But, you know, as soon as that conversation is over, it's over. It's like he's not listening to the obvious sign of his own emotions, like, that this is a bad decision. Like, stop, turn around. Like, I don't know.
I mean, I think this episode really cemented Don's status for me as a monster. Like, I just think he is a monster.
I just think he's an idiot. I don't think that he's... I just think that... Gosh. Yeah, no, I think that he's so helpless at this point, it's impossible for him to be a monster. Like,
okay, interesting. Okay, so let's talk about, like, motivation for the proposal. Like, one theory I heard is, like, Dr. Faye is, like, his equal, you know, and knows everything about him. Whereas Megan... not as equal, knows nothing about him, and so feels like a safe choice compared to Dr. Faye.
And that, along with that, not just a safe choice, but it's a choice of a lot less self-respect on his part. Like, he could choose to be with somebody that's challenging to him and that does, you know some things he's not that comfortable with about himself. But that would be a decision of somebody who, you know, was very secure with themselves, and he's not yet. Like, he's very much still in a transitory period as far as that goes. And so he kind of just backtracked and fell back on the easier choice I think Faye at some point says something about how she doesn't cook, and like you get the idea that she's not terribly domestically inclined, which of course she wouldn't be, like, having the job that she does. And whereas Megan, she takes care of the kids, she teaches them French, like, you know, and that's much, I'm sure that appeals much more to Don's more traditional side. So,
well, Yannick B in the chat room says Megan is the safest choice for Don, and it was all sewn up when he saw her deal with the kids in the restaurant. That was a fun scene. That was a fun scene.
Oh, yeah.
Where he's about to freaking, like, beat the crap out of his kids, or, like, verbally at least. And she's also like, hey, it's just a spill. No worries.
And you can so, like, envision the ghost of Betty there in the booth with them, like, freaking out, flipping out, and, like, like smacking Sally across the face. Like,
So
that was definitely.
And that was kind of the moment when I realized, hey, maybe, like, Don and Betty are horrible parents. I mean, I kind of had an inkling of this before, but that was, again, another thing that was firmed up in my mind too.
Yeah.
So,
well, also that scene, it's very abrupt how these scenes are kind of strung together.
Yes.
Because there's that scene in the diner, then we cut immediately to them back in New York, to him sitting up in bed. It's an exact shot. It's an identical shot of him sitting in the hotel in California while they're out, while she's out playing with the kids in the pool. While Megan is. So we cut back to that. And then immediately it's the proposal. We go straight from the diner to the proposal, which I thought was interesting.
Yeah. Well, I think the creators of the show wanted us to associate those two events for some reason, perhaps. I have no idea. I don't actually try to ascribe intentionality to any of this, but because I think sometimes it can feel haphazardly assembled, and people can mistake that for brilliance. But who knows? Maybe I have no idea what the hell I'm talking about. Anyway, so overall, just very troubling. Just like that he could inflict this much harm on someone and not even feel that bad about it. It seems.
Yeah.
There was no scene where he's like sitting up at night being like, should I do this? Should I not? He just freaking did it, man.
Yeah, we weren't let into that decision making process at all. While, you know, over the course of the season, we actually got a lot more of Don's inner workings and, you know, what makes him tick and stuff. That was sort of revealed more to us. And then suddenly, like, just the curtain is drawn over this last, like, half of this episode.
Yeah.
Which I think is very interesting.
Any other thoughts? Are you looking forward to anything you kind of are looking forward to or want to know? Like, what's the most pressing question on your mind?
What is the most pressing question? I don't know. Is a lesbian gonna come back?
Okay.
My most pressing question
is like, how much time has elapsed, obviously, but also like, it, has the marriage actually occurred? That's kind of what I want.
Not in any of those photos.
Right. Or is, you know, or has it fallen apart, or is the season just going to pick up like right, like a week after the last episode? You know what I mean? Like what's going to happen? I just don't know.
Yeah.
And maybe they purposely excluded her because they didn't want to hint that that's going to be a major part this season.
Right.
You know?
Yeah.
So
I'm interested to see how, you know, even though I loathe her character and I do not care for January Jones, I'm interested to see how Betty continues to fit into everything.
You know who I don't want to see again on this show? Matt Weiner's son on this season.
Who is he?
He's Glenn.
Glenn.
He plays Glenn.
Like the most
worthless character. Like, I cringe every time I see. Not only is that character horrible, but just the performance is
so
terrible.
Wooden. Yeah. I mean, that almost kind of like helps it make it even more creepy, I think.
Yeah, but in some ways, unintentionally, it's successful in that way.
Yeah. Oh boy.
But having watched all four seasons. And I think we can wrap it up here. Having watched all four seasons and kind of trying to love the show and then ending up actually really appreciating it and enjoying it, and now I'm really looking forward to this season.
Mm-hmm.
I read this profile, again, I mentioned in the New York Times about Matt Weiner, and here's, I'm reading from the profile. The only clue Mr. Weiner would offer now was his remembrance of how he first pitched Mad Men to AMC, promising a series that would tell the story of how a decade changed people's lives. Quote, after the finale, you will look back on them and say, look how young they were, and you will look back with nostalgia. And what?
Wait, you said you wanted to wrap this up, but now that quote just gets me all kinds of, like, that's my frustration with the show. I mean, that's all very well and good, but that's not a premise for a drama, I don't think. Like, premise for life, like for living with people.
I agree. Mad Men is the Sims of TV. It's basically like...
It is, exactly.
but there's a reason why The Sims is massively popular, Emily. It's because...
Yeah.
Sometimes people can sort of be enthralled with the mundanity of other people's lives.
I have to say that I find the love scenes in Mad Men to be much more cinematic than those in The Sims.
Barely.
So it has that.
Barely. And the sort of language is slightly more comprehensible. But I actually do appreciate that, because you realize, like, wow, yeah, even in the last four seasons, they've changed so much. And I can't imagine how destroyed their lives are going to end up being at the end of this
decade. I feel like that is like 101 level, like, requirements for a drama, is that characters change, you know? Like, and historical context aside, like, I don't know. Like, I don't want to come out of this and just be like, well, these characters are different. Like, I mean, that's even on soap operas, for God's sake. Like,
I mean, I think that's what this is in many ways.
It is.
It's a very expensive soap opera.
But then, I mean,
period soap opera.
I guess contextually then, like, the amount of, you know, all the awards and all the praise and stuff, not that it's not deserving of it. I think that the writing is great. I think that the acting is great. But, you know, it's not that much deeper than a lot of other shows, I feel like. And I feel like people give it, because it's much more kind of elliptical and shadowy, like, people's imaginations are able to run more wild about what's going on under the surface. And I think that's what the cult around the show is mostly based off of, is this mystery, which I always have my doubts that there's that much going on under that kind of veil.
Well, Emily, before we're coming up on a 30-minute mark, which is the limit for these audio podcasts. So I want to say, if you enjoyed this and want to hear more Mad Men podcasts, email me at slashfilmcast@gmail.com. Emily, you can find her at avclub.com and twitter.com/EmilyYoshino.
Twitter.com.